Wir haben Platz mehr, dann geht's dann.
Day two of the Helden Festival began in the bar.
It did.
It did.
A very early hour. A very civilised hour, I thought. 10 o'clock.
Yes. Now, it only sounds strange. Well, it doesn't sound strange for us to say we started the day in the bar. Yeah. But it did actually start in the bar. There's a Helden pop bar in the little village of Helden itself.
Yep.
And there was a band playing called Gary.
Gary. Yeah, and if that doesn't excite you, believe you me, you should be, because...
Gary, I've never met a Gary I didn't like, and I've found one I love today.
Yeah, exactly. Apparently, I've got an interesting fact for you, James, actually, because I don't think you know that the guy in Gary, right, the singer, is a very famous German actor, believe it or not.
Is he?
Yeah. No shit, Sherlock.
And, No shit, Sherlock.
He's a very famous actor in Germany, and he has a band. But actually, to be honest, he wasn't, with that in retrospect, he was actually a very, very good... he should actually take up singing, because he was brilliant, actually, as a singer.
Yeah, let's put it this way.
Well, okay, let's get the positives out of the way first.
Right, let's try and put this in a nutshell, okay? Outstanding songs.
Yeah, astonishing torch songs, yeah.
Brilliant front man.
Yeah, really and great, backed up by the girl.
Yes, and a band that really don't know how to play any of it.
Basically, they had a drummer who can't drum.
Yes.
Who really can't, I mean, like, I'm not talking about, you know, just keeps sort of time. No, he can't do that.
He couldn't keep time. The band couldn't keep in time with each other because he kept changing his rhythm halfway through his song.
Or staring at a picture of a cow behind him.
There was even one point which was just an ultimate Spinal Tap moment when he went over and in German just said, does this one go dum 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 or du du dum?
Eins, zwei, drei, ja. Yeah. It was a case of, oh my God, he doesn't know when to start.
It was so astonishing.
But it was like a case of, the spirit, the attitude, the camaraderie pulled them through, and you realise at that point that is really what matters in music. In case of, you can be as slick as you want, you can be clever, blah blah blah, but if you don't have that essential guts to carry you through a performance, to communicate on one level with your audience, you might as well forget it.
Oh, they played like their lives depended on it.
And
in a drummer's case, I think he was about to be hung. His life did depend on that.
But let's be honest, neither the bass player nor the guitarist could play a note.
No, but they were also like the lookalike band. The singer looks like either Herflick from Allo Allo or Andrew Marr, which he really does like, Andrew Marr. the political rock man.
Yeah.
The bass player looked like a blonde Adam West. We just wanted to put a Batman uniform on him.
We did, yeah.
And the drummer looked like Benny from Crossroads. And for those of you who really don't know, A, what Crossroads is, you're lucky, and B, who Benny is, please Google him.
Yeah.
Please Google him. Take the woolly hat off and you've got him. That's what that drummer was.
But
they were outstanding. They were so shambolic and so amateurish, but they were just enjoying themselves that much. And again, you can tell that those songs are really, really good.
Oh, they were
really
great
well
songs.
Written.
Yeah, absolutely great.
But they were just charm personified.
Yeah, they were. Brilliant. And it was a great time in the bar. So we left the bar after that.
If they ever learn to play, they'll be massive.
Not as good.
Yeah. But they will. They'll be massive.
Massive, but not as good.
If they ever figure out how to play and how to play together as a band,
it would be.
They could be huge. We enjoyed Gary immensely.
Yeah.
But then from the sublime, from the ridiculous to the sublime.
Yeah, indeed. We walked into the Spiegel
tent. Or the just simply outstanding.
Wendy McNeil.
Yes.
It was brilliant. I mean, all those people who don't know Wendy McNeil, I suggest you go and check her out immediately. Singer-songwriter.
You may well fall in love quickly.
Very much.
And there's nothing like to start off a festival proper on a Friday morning with a few sea shanties and accordions.
Exactly. Accordions.
It's nice to
klezmer,
see a double bass.
Musette. A lot of musette, a lot of klezmer influence. It basically, she had an accordion and sang lots of songs about shape-shifting wolves, dogs, bears and all these sort of things. Mm. In the most innocent, sweet, beguiling way that you could not imagine. The crowd loved it. It was one of the Haldane moments, so you couldn't believe it.
Astonishing. But there was a lot of people, I have to say, a lot of people ran away from her and went to watch Triggerfinger.
Yeah. Which
and
is a big
really
mistake.
I can't understand why.
Yeah, exactly, because Wendy McNeil's set was just... it was one of those great moments at Haldane where you the connection between the audience and the artist is such that those who did stay just, you know, willed her on a chorus. It was magical. It was absolutely magical. Very, very simple, very, very beautiful songs. They're all about weird things, like, you know, like all things about moving into a different realm, physical or mental realm. Lots of things about, as I said before, ghosts and ghouls and demons and all the rest of it. But something in the most sweet way that you would have never thought anything of.
Beautiful.
It.
And
she's such a personality. I really would suggest you go and check out.
Yeah, and for once, she had, like, following on from the wonderfully bad drummer from Gary, we had possibly one of the best
drummers.
Yeah. Very simple, but yeah, very, very effective.
Oh, brilliant.
Loads of really, really good roles in it. But yeah, it was one of just a beautiful way to kick off
indeed
the day proper. But Triggerfinger, like I say, the crowd loved them because A, they were loud, and B, they did what all Haldon crowds do, and they let them join in.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, crowd participation, if you can do that, you're onto a winner at Haldon.
Yep, indeed.
So the crowd got to go, whoa, whoa, and clap the hands.
That's
and
right.
Jump up and down, and we thought they were absolutely terrible.
We didn't think much of Triggerfinger, to be honest with you. After that was Detroit Social Club, who
basically started...
Sorry, like,
Detroit Social Club, and who's the one who was on...
We don't know.
Yeah, there was someone...
We actually don't know.
There was it's down on the programme as question mark.
No.
And whoever question mark is, they just carried on with the U2 Appreciation Society.
The Detroit Social Club had started.
Yes, but it was. It was like, we like Borneo. We like the Edge.
The Edge.
And we didn't like either of them.
Again,
they were all right. The crowd enjoyed it, we have to say that.
It was entertaining enough
for
the crowd.
But it's not our thing.
It's not our thing.
We're not U2 fans.
No, exactly.
So therefore,
no,
we're not going to like people who want to sound like U2.
Exactly. Now, sadly, we missed Fife Dangerfield, ex-singer of the Gilliwaters.
Yeah, but
less
to be honest,
or whatever. We know what he would have done.
Yeah, and to be honest, we've seen him so many times. But I think that would have been
the fourth time at Haldon.
The fourth time at Haldon, and we've seen him enough. Basically.
Yeah, exactly.
We had to do things like go and find somewhere to have a wash.
We did.
And find some food.
We did.
Some very, very nice pasta.
We had some very nice pasta. Very nice pasta. By the Sunnyside Up Pasta Company, who a guy actually, I'll tell you something. He has a little dance when he gets some pre-cooked pasta. And he puts it into a big sort of wok. Throws it around a bit, you know, deep fries it, stir fries it, kind of thing. He does a little dance with his feet, if you look carefully. He does a little dance, and he does a little smile, a winning smile, with his pasta.
I got an extra bonus kind of avant-garde stage show with my pasta being cooked, because you got the bloke,
yeah,
the dancing bloke.
Yeah.
I got the girl, and the girl, whilst stirring my pasta, her shorts fell down.
Fantastic, really?
So she had her apron covering her private
areas
and frilly knickers, but then as she was cooking, her shorts were around her ankles, and she made one of these little like ooh noises, and I was most entertained.
Of course, yeah. I wonder why it was taking so long to get your pasta.
It was worth the 8 years.
Indeed.
Just for that.
Indeed. So after that, you went to see Laura Marlin, and
I did
something else.
I've heard lots of things about Laura Marlin, and I'm sure anybody who reads Incendiary has read any other music magazine or broadsheet newspaper in the Western
Hemisphere,
yes, over the past 2 years has heard a lot about her.
Yeah.
I have to say I'm not that big of a fan.
I don't get it myself either.
I think she's very good at what she does.
Yeah.
I just think it's maybe not really, it doesn't do that much for me. But I've heard so much good stuff about her latest album, I thought, right, I'll give her a chance.
Yeah.
I went in, and I'm not joking, there were people in there crying. There were girls hugging each other. There were blokes like wiping tears from their eyes. They were having just an orgasmathon in there.
Yeah.
Again, a very, very well played, really well backed up by the band.
Yeah.
And I walked out there going,
it's all right, yeah.
I think that says more about me than her, but she went down a storm.
Fair enough, and that's what they paid the money for, isn't it?
Considering she was in the tent, they could have thrown her on the main stage and everybody would have been there to see her.
Of course.
The queue outside was massive, because I think this year's Haldon has become the Haldon of the queue.
Yeah, there's a lot more queue in, yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah, you do, yeah.
But they're very, very patient with it.
Yeah, they are, actually, you have to say.
You have to queue for everything.
Yeah, suddenly there's an extra 1,000 people that's made all the sort of weight.
All those extra cars.
It is all those extra cars, you're right. And after that, from one female performer we weren't that enamoured with, to one we were, which is Rox. I mean, again, I don't like her album.
One of the great things about that, it was just such a wonderful change of pace.
Yeah.
Instead of all that kind of standard kind of indie, like guitar rock, which we've had like over and over again, all the kind of folky stuff, we have a really sultry, sassy kind of funky soul demon.
It mixed it up with soul, funk, reggae. It was actually
a bit of rock steady.
Perfect, wasn't it?
What a performer she is!
Yeah, she's fantastic.
That girl would win limbo prizes the world over.
Exactly. Well, the good thing is like she limbos while she actually belts out the top C's. You know, in terms of how the hell that woman is able to bend over and make L shapes or other strange emotions, if you will, and manage to sing and control her voice in such a manner that you would never think that she was doing anything but standing still and singing. It's beyond me. It was wonderful. In fact, what was great as well was the fact the band was brilliant. There's one very, very slow song. I mean, she's had a couple of hits, and everyone knows the hits. But she had one very slow song, which you thought, there's nothing going on in the song, apart from her voice, which held everyone enraptured. And everyone was looking around thinking, this is one of those moments where you think, well, I don't think much of great about this song. And then all of a sudden, you think, actually, this song is brilliant. This performance is brilliant. And it hits you about 3-4 minutes into it. You think, bloody hell, that is shockingly good.
The band sounded like they had a lot more about them considering there weren't actually that many of them on stage.
No,
but whilst Bumfluff and Children are on stage now,
Bumford and Sunday,
we should
stop at Delphic, actually, shouldn't we?
Well, we should, but we're not with them in the background. We shall find a quieter place once Bumfluff and his kids
and
have got out of the way.
Buggered off.
And we shall talk to you again.
We will. See you later.
So when we last left you, we had just discussed Rocks, I believe.
That's right, we did.
And they were followed by Delphic.
That's right.
I'll be honest and say I wasn't really that looking forward to them. But
no.
Because that dancey...
The Manchester thing is the whole electronic Kraftwerk New Order thing that Manchester seems to be very famous for.
Yeah,
rightly so.
Yeah, but I have to say, they were very good indeed.
They were great, yeah.
Very good.
They're a funny band because they've got a certain... very obvious crowd-pleasing element to them, which it could sort of grate, you know. But they're very good at building up a crowd, very good at building up a mood, and they don't let the music become too not cliche is the wrong word, but too sort of formulaic, isn't it?
Mm.
So there's always this moment where you think you're getting quite excited about what's going on with Delphic.
No,
and they rocked out, didn't they?
Yeah, they've got an interesting presence because I mean it is that they're a dance band.
Mm.
Through and through, but the fact that the way they mix the live instruments in. And the way they attack the thing when they actually play them.
Yeah.
It makes them a lot more of a visual presence than you would imagine for a bunch of guys twiddling knobs.
Effectively. I mean, and they do, I mean, to be fair to them as well, they do manage to avoid the whole very obvious New Order comparison, which, I mean, must hang like a millstone around most Manchester bands' necks in many ways. But they really get away with it, don't they?
Okay. It was one of those strange things because when on paper you would think they would probably be more suited to the tent.
Yeah.
And there's a few things like every year at Haldon there's someone who you just feel is on the wrong stage.
Yeah.
But they pulled it, but actually they went down very well. And as the sun was just about to set, and you're almost about
I'm almost about to get run over. Sorry, Germans.
By a man in a Doppler. But to be fair, he couldn't see it because he's got a mattress behind his head.
Mm.
But you're still alive, so we carry on.
Wait, we're talking about Delphic.
They kind of would have gone down well, but as the sun was setting and of course they could get all the fluorescent lights and everything out, it worked really well. And listen, let's face it, the crowd went bonkers.
Yeah, they went bonkers.
They did.
And that was a great thing. So after that, I mean, we were very pleased after that. And then I think we made our way over to the tent after that, didn't we? Oh yeah, we did. We went to the tent. We saw a bit of post-war. No, actually, we walked in. We were supposed to see post-war years. But one of those classic moments, we walked in just as they finished.
Yeah.
So then we walked back out again.
This is how much we heard.
Good night. Thank you. Goodbye. So, sorry.
That bit was quite good.
And they got
a nice round of applause for that.
Post-war gig.
Yeah.
Anyway, so after that, you went to see Mumford. You went to see Mumford.
Bumfluff and Children. We've nicknamed them lots of things, but Bumfluff and Children's Club are the one we're sticking with.
Yeah.
Because I just think they're really overhyped. But that's no real fault of their own.
No.
As much as I thought they were quite a twee band on record and weren't really that interesting. Yeah. I thought they pulled off one hell of a show last night.
Yeah.
And let's face it, there wasn't one person in the crowd apart from us who wasn't here to see them, because the place was empty apart from everyone. It was like 5,000 people straining to get a sight of them.
Yeah,
and everybody was singing along, and I'm not sure, they're fantastic show.
Uh-huh.
And they went down like headliners, they really did.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, the last song they played was a really strange one to finish with, uh-huh. but because it was a bit down key after they just had like two or three real triumphant sing-along moments through it. But yeah, I mean, for a cast of seven or eight of them, it was nice to see another double bass on stage as well.
There's been a lot of double basses.
It's been the year of double basses,
hasn't it? Yes.
Bumfluff and Children were all right.
Children,
we have to give them more than a pass.
Gruesome proper whiskers, if you allow the analogy there.
Yes.
Right, after that, I rejoined the fray, and then we went to the Spiegel tent once again, he says, trying to get his notes, because he can't remember what he did yesterday. Oh yes, that's right, we went to see Esben and the Witch.
Who basically hid themselves.
There's a lot of
huts.
Why is everyone so frightened of being seen on stage? Mm. I mean, this reminds me of when I first started going to gigs in the mid-1980s, where bands would be enveloped in this mesh of dry ice and other things, where you could just about make them out after the fifth song. You know, things like New Order, the Bunny Men, the Jesus, not the Jesus Mary Chain, but the Cocteau Twins certainly did it. And the other thing where you couldn't see anything.
Mm.
And I think this is very much the case this year isn't it? You can't see anyone.
The singer sat on a stool, put a hood over her head, and basically tried to hide. Yeah, and of course they were only backlit. There wasn't a light on them. They were only backlit. But you could tell that the guitar player thinks he's in a different band, because he was wearing a black and white polka dot shirt.
Yeah.
And he was jumping around like he was in in Motley Crue or something.
It was a strange one, because again the sound. We've heard a lot about this band. It's the first time I've actually seen them, but a lot of my London contacts say, "Oh, Esben and the Witch are great." It is, I wouldn't say a rehash, because that's a bit unfair on bands. Obviously, people can't be as old as me, but it was very much like Ex-Mile Deutschland's Garland's era Cocteau Twins. The guitar was very Robin Guthrie at times. There's the girl's voice had a certain Susie Sue inflection.
Yeah, that's what reminded me of
it. It was that classic sort of independent gothic music from the mid-80s, wasn't it?
And it was a nice change of pace.
It was good
as well. I thought they were
actually a very, very interesting band. I thought the last track, when they started to morph into Gus Gus, it was also really, really good. It was a very sort of dancey, thumpy number. They were very good at using silences and spaces in the music, which I thought gave an atmospheric thing. And this shows my dark punk soul, I think. They didn't once ask the audience to join in, which I'm very pleased about.
They were quite happy if the audience weren't there.
They'd be quite happy just to play to themselves.
But it was if ever there was a wall of sound moment, that was them.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's all there was. There was no visual information to go on at all, apart from a black and white polka dot shirt.
Exactly. So we had to do some, we had to rethink. For a change.
But they were very
it was a great thing. Then you shot off to Beirut, didn't you? Or did you not? But did we not bother with? Oh, we heard him in the background.
Yeah, we went and I'm not a fan. We kind of watched Beirut.
I think we
decided at Beirut, we just don't want to live there.
We'll leave it at that. And then after we went back to the tent, see the wonderful Daniel Benjamin.
Who was fabulous.
Yeah, he was.
Really, really good. I mean, essentially, he's Haldon's local boy done good, isn't he?
Yeah.
I don't think he's actually from Haldon.
No, he's not, but he plays here quite a lot.
Yeah, and he's... And
he's worth seeing.
He's part of the furniture around here.
Yeah.
And it's just so interesting to see him. We saw them... Basically, his band are the same band that he plays in Jumbo Jet with.
Yeah.
Who are really sloppy,
something else,
loud, thrashy...
Nina Hagen
almost
kind of
thrashed
thing, isn't
metal band, but really...
German punk, I suppose.
Yeah, and lots of... Which, I can remember, they had the guy who... rode across the stage on a bike and fell off it.
Oh, wonderful, yeah. Chills.
Yeah, and then last night, it's like his solo stuff's really... You will some standard singer-songwriter stuff, but...
But it's not.
He's really, really talented.
Yeah, he is. And he's one of these people who uses an inflection or a lick or a silence or a tempo change to his absolute best effect, because he's very, very skilled at just allowing a certain amount of musical information to be let out and then let it stand up on its own. He doesn't over egg anything, and he's confident enough just to allow things to develop at their own pace.
Yeah, but
he's brilliant.
There's a lot of extended kind of movements in.
He's very Blue Nile. I thought they were very much like the Blue Nile at times.
You can tell that they're obviously such good friends and stuff.
Yeah.
That the band, because they were
going all over the place, and they yeah. could really, they were really, really tight, and yeah, they had a lot of fun on stage. I think it was a brilliant classic moment where he jumped into the crowd and everyone moved out the way, and he just landed in a heap on the floor.
Yeah, it's always good to see.
But then he stood up and started shouting again.
So unashamedly say that if you've never heard of Daniel Benjamin, I suggest
then you should go and find him.
You should go and find out and take some time to check him out.
Yeah. So after that, he's on tour in around Europe, I think, isn't it? So please check him out. Well worth it.
Anyway, after that we went back to the main stage to see Serena Manish.
Who basically, this is another fantastic change of pace. Yeah. Because they just decided they're going to come in and shred everybody's ears for an hour.
It was
very, very loud and very, very aggressive and very, very sharp it was.
Informed by a lot of bands. Well, yeah, I mean, the band du jour, the Bible de Valentine ideas, and there's a lot of spectrum and spiritualized ideas floating around in velvets. You know, they all reminded me very much of a very, very loud Brian Jonestown Massacre. If you could imagine the Brian Jonestown Massacre, but with a slight metal inflection, I think that would be close to what we got.
You can imagine
great.
Grumpy parents the world over hearing their sons and friends hanging around in the garage making a complete racket. Well, that's pretty much what they did on a big stage with 5,000 people in front of them. And very, like I said, it was like being, just listening to a bunch of lads in a garage having a lot of fun and not really giving a monkey's what anybody thought of them.
Well, basically trying to cover Spiritualized Electric Mainline, wasn't it, really? Mm. Let's do that album in your dad's garage, but very loudly.
But very quick.
Yeah.
We'll speed it up a bit with what we've got now.
The last track must have been about 15 minutes. Mm. And because there's a loud bit, which went from 10, and then they had a quiet bit after that, an afterburn moment, if you will, which went on for another 5. Mm. It was an uncompromising set, we should say.
Yeah, then very, off, very good.
Then off back to the Spiegel
run
tent.
To the little mirror tent.
The little mirror tent to see Thus Owls. You've never seen them before, have you?
I haven't, I would say they blew me away, but they didn't quite blow me away. They just surprised me. So, yeah. Yes, they were very intriguing.
They're an interesting band.
Very pretentious, but in a good way, I would say.
They're awkward. The good thing about it is they're awkward. They're not actually looking for anyone's approval. And it's funny, the record, when I heard the record, I thought, well, I want to take this off, but there's enough awkwardness and enough weirdness about it for me to want to carry on listening to it, because initially the music, you know, I couldn't really sort of see what they wanted me as a listener to sort of interact with. But then you go and see them live, and the record is sort of quiet in many ways. It's sort of dampened down. But when you go and see it, like,
it's
they have
very,
a lot
of very kind of widescreen,
completely different
language and very ethereal at various moments. And they do a lot with electronic buttons to make vocal stylings a bit more interesting.
Yeah. And she jumps around.
But there was just a wonderful moment where there was one of the best sounds of the day. As where at some point that you could tell there were quite a lot of gentlemen in the room.
Yeah.
And they were just staring longingly at the singer and thinking she was
attractive
and
Swedish.
Yeah, the nicest Scandinavian they've seen in the past 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then she just said, oh, well, she just announced that she was married to the guitar player. Yeah. And there was an audible kind of, from about 100 men. It was brilliant. But it was just like, it was a massive kind of, oh shit!
Oh well, never mind.
And for that alone, they deserve all credit. And then they played a song called Iceland, took longer to play than I think Iceland took to form.
Yeah.
They were incredible. Yeah. They were really, really good, solid and ethereal.
I think they were certainly a band to see live before you get the record. I would certainly say that. Because the record is good, but the record isn't. The record is awkward.
I would imagine the record's one that you want to listen to on a Sunday morning with a hangover and never any other time.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, after that we were a bit worse for wear.
It was about close to 3 o'clock in the morning, and we decided we'd just wander back.
We did.
Towards Camp Incendiary.
Yeah, we did. And saw a few fires. The fires are starting this year. We started to have the fires now.
The fires were needed last night. It was bloody freezing because it was such a beautiful starry night.
Yeah.
So whoever was on last, was it juniper bushes or something?
Juniper. From Iceland, I think.
Juniper, yeah, we apologise to them.
Sorry that we didn't see you. Yeah. There you go. So now we're sat outside. It's Saturday morning. We're actually in the main square. You probably hear the fountain in the background.
That's not a fountain. That's just a lot of men having a wee. And we think about beer being drunk, that wees take quite a long time here.
Indeed. So we're going to basically
begin with day 3 soon. But we'll tell you about that tomorrow.
We will. All right.
Bye.